To your seats. I want to join JB by also wishing all the moms and grandmas and great grandmas and moms to be a happy Mother's Day. It's a wonderful day to be together, and it's always fun to see all the kids that come back to be with their moms on Mother's Day. That's always a lot of fun too. We're going to look in our Bibles at 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 3 through 5. And then we're going to look at a second passage also in 2 Timothy this morning in chapter 3, verses 14 and 15. And I'll go to those in just a moment. But, you know, Mother's Day touches us all, doesn't it? Obviously, not all of us are moms, but we all have one or have had one. And if you're having a great Mother's Day today, we are rejoicing with you. We praise God for you, and we are glad that you're experiencing God's blessing here today. And yet, as encouraging a day as it is, it can also be a day filled with mixed emotions for people. It can be hard for people to think about Mother's Day for a variety of different reasons. Some moms can sit in a meeting like this today and just be filled with a temptation to remember mistakes you've made as a parent. Or you think about kids who aren't following the Lord and you're distressed in your heart and you pray for them, but it makes you sad. There are single moms in our midst, and they love their kids, but they also, on a day like this, are reminded of loss, rejection, things that didn't work out the way that they wanted. There are women here without children who want to be moms but aren't. There are people with difficult relationships with their moms, or moms who have difficult relationships with their kids. The relationship can be quite confusing at that point, so Mother's Day becomes a bit of a complicated event. There are broken relationships. There are moms who have passed away, and the day can be a reminder of that. And for many of us, myself included, I regret sometimes the way that I treated my mom growing up. And so Mother's Day brings about all these different emotions that we have, and sometimes you can have multiple emotions all at the same time. And so today, what I want to do and what we want to do through God's Word is to extend God's grace and be encouraged by God's Word on a day like Mother's Day. Because we know that God loves moms, God designed and created motherhood, and God accomplishes great things through the moms that He places on this earth. And so we know from God's Word that there is a way to get grace and to be encouraged on this day. And that's what I want us to leave here today. I want us to be encouraged in God's Word about how God sees moms and motherhood. And so in our text this morning, the Apostle Paul is writing to his protege, Timothy. It's probably the last letter that Paul wrote. And Timothy is his beloved child in the faith. But this child in the faith was enduring the same type of persecution and suffering and hardship that Paul had experienced in his own life. And so Paul is writing to him for a variety of different reasons, but one of the most important reasons was to encourage him in his faith and to persevere. But I want us to look at two sections of 2 Timothy to help us see how moms and a mom played such an important part of Timothy's life. So let's look at 2 Timothy chapter 1. Verses 3 and 5. I thank God, whom I serve, as did my ancestors, with a clear conscience, as I remember you, speaking of Timothy, constantly in my prayers night and day. As I remember your tears, I long to see you, that I may be filled with joy. I am reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and now I am sure dwells in you as well. And if you want to flip over to 2 Timothy 3, 14 and 15, Paul continues speaking to Timothy and he says this. He says, but as for you, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it and how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. And so let's pray as we go to God's Word. Father, we thank you for this Word that you give to us. It is Word that you breathe out for us. It's a Word and words that bring us life, that bring us hope, that bring us encouragement. And we pray that this morning you would speak your word to us, that you would speak grace into our lives. And I pray specifically for the moms here in our midst, that you would encourage them through your word here today. And we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. So why is Paul thankful? He says, I'm so thankful for you, Timothy. But why is he thankful? Well, he starts out in chapter 1 by acknowledging that, like himself, Timothy has a heritage of faith. He talks about Timothy's grandmother, Lois, and his mother, Eunice. And the main point that I want us to get out of these two passages from 2 Timothy today is this. God uses moms as women of great influence in two specific ways. And there are lots of ways that they do this, but two ways that we see in Scripture here today: through their faith and through their faithful witness. Okay, so God uses moms in two amazing, wonderful, significant ways. It's part of God's plan and God's design: through their faith and through their faithful witness. And moms, I know that you know you can't save your kids. It's not like faith is hereditary. You just pass it on from generation to generation. No, each person has to come to their own saving faith in Jesus Christ. But the way God designed it is moms have a wonderful and unique role in the lives of their kids. And God uses you, moms, to accomplish his purposes by being an authentic example of faith and by teaching your children the word of God. And so I just want to look at two points today. Two points to encourage the moms to cultivate a sincere faith is the first point. The second point talks about sharing your faith with your children. So the first one is cultivate sincere faith. Look back at verse 5 in chapter 1. He says, I am reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and now, I am sure, dwells in you as well. So what is Timothy's spiritual heritage? Was he just from a long line of Christians and grew up in a Christian home? Quite the opposite. Timothy was from a mixed religious family in Lystra. His dad was Greek, and there's no other mention of him throughout the scriptures being involved in his life or anything else that we know about him. But we know that he was Greek, and yet his mom, we're told in Acts chapter 16, his mom was a Jewish believer in Jesus Christ. We know from this letter and 1 Timothy as well that Paul has become a spiritual father to Timothy. Okay, so are you getting the picture? So here's this family, mom's a believer, grandma's a believer, dad, not really sure, maybe he's a believer, but he's not really mentioned, or maybe he's an unbeliever, but he certainly isn't projected as somebody who's a believer. So you've got this mixed family going on. And then we get Lois and Eunice. Well, we don't know when grandma and mom came to faith in Christ. Maybe they had gone to Jerusalem and heard the gospel. Maybe they were saved at some point just by interacting with other Christians. We don't know. But what we do know is that they had a faith. And the implication is that they passed on that faith to Timothy. These wonderful women. And I want us to note here that, you know, the Christian life is messy. Very rarely do you have just a linear progression of somebody who comes to faith, then they get married to somebody who's in the faith, then they have children who all come to faith, and then they have more children who all come to faith. It does happen by God's grace, but quite honestly, just look around, that's not the norm. No, there are all kinds of twists and turns because people all have a unique responsibility to make their own commitment to follow Christ. As I said, faith is not hereditary. In a physical sense. No, faith is something that has to be obtained through faith in Jesus Christ. That comes from your relationship with the Lord. And yet, these moms have a wonderful, wonderful role in the lives of their children. You see, our God is the God of the unexpected. Even when we think things are zigging and zagging and going off the rails, God is always being God. God has plans and God has purposes that we don't always know about. And often he uses the most unlikely sources and the most unlikely circumstances to bring about great transformation, great redemption in the lives of people. And oftentimes you'll see that moms are right in the mix. You see, God is awesome, and he does unexpected things through faithful moms. to bring about great things for his kingdom purposes. So you might be asking, well, what is sincere faith? Does that mean being a perfect mom, having perfect faith? Well, the faith of Lois and Eunice that also resides in Timothy, it was a sincere faith. And even though Timothy is described as being one who could be somewhat timid, Paul acknowledged in him that, no, there's a deep work in your life. You do have a sincere faith. And he reminded him of it because he knows, Paul does, that sincere faith ultimately comes from God. It's a gift. It's a deposit that God makes. It's an abiding grace that's irrevocable. And if you have it, you have it, and it can't be taken away from you. And this faith isn't just in, well, I'm going to try to be a good person, or I'm going to try to do good, or I'm going to try to make God happy with me. No, this faith is actually not in your work, but your faith is in the work of another. Your faith is in the person of Jesus Christ, who lived the life that you could never live before God, and who paid the penalty for all the sins that you owed to God. And Jesus did all that for you, and God, in his divine plan, said, the only way you're ever going to get to me is through him. And so that sincere faith has an object. And so faith is in Jesus Christ. It's the Christian faith. It's trusting in Jesus for the salvation of our souls and trusting that through that relationship, being united to God in Christ, that you also then have the Holy Spirit residing within you. Oh, friends, this is the kind of faith that we want. And so sincere faith, the way that it's worded in the text here, it means an authentic response. It means hearing this good news and not just saying, well, you know, that's kind of nice. No, it's a sincere faith that says, I believe it to the point that I'm going to put my life on the line for it. This is a sincere, authentic faith. It means I really, really believe this. And this is the most important thing I can believe. You see, sincere faith is genuine. It's without hypocrisy. It lacks the deception that can go on when we're just trying to please other people. No, this is an us and God thing. It's before God, it's saying, I really believe in you. And I know that what's been said about you is true. And I want to follow you all the days of my life. It's that kind of sincere faith. Sincere faith, though, doesn't imply perfection. And I think this is where sometimes we go off the rails with this. It doesn't involve perfection because God knows that when he comes to rescue us, we're already a piece of work. We got a lot of issues. Now, by God's grace, when you first come to saving faith in the Lord, you know that internally your eternal destination is secure. You're going to be with God forever. And that is a great thing. And you also know that God's Spirit now resides in you. Okay, but sometimes what we get a little bit tripped up on is we know this future hope and we know the present experience of the Holy Spirit, but where we get into trouble is thinking, yeah, but I'm not perfect yet. I still get angry. I still get upset. And that's the Christian life. It's not that you're perfect. It's that God is making you perfect. It's a transition. There's movement in our lives. We start over here, and God, day by day, as his Spirit works inside of us, he molds us, and he transforms us, and he makes us become more and more like his Son, Jesus Christ. You know, one of my favorite verses is from 2 Corinthians 3:18. Josh Deck made me a nice little sign for it. He says, you know, as we behold the glory of the Lord, we're being transformed from one degree of glory to another. And this comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. Okay, so we're on this journey. Sincere faith doesn't mean that you're perfect faith. Sincere faith just means that you really believe what God says about himself and you've put your trust in him for your life, trusting that he knows how to live with you better than you know how to live with yourself. It means walking by the Spirit, engaging God in his word, praying to him, trusting him in the midst of life's trials, giving thanks to him when we see his fingerprints on our lives. A sincere faith means that we're willing to acknowledge our weaknesses. Sincere faith means that we repent and ask for forgiveness when we sin. Sincere faith means that we grow in Christ-likeness. And ultimately, and this is really important, When we get this idea of sincere faith, it means that you have a new identity, one that will never be taken away from you. You see, before coming to faith in Christ, you were on your own. You were an enemy of God. You were going your own way. The Bible talks about how the fact that we sort of hated God and we sort of hated everybody else because at the end of the day, we sort of want to be God and we want everybody to treat us as God. And that doesn't work out so well because they think they're God and they want you to treat them as God. So we have a little bit of a standoff here, right? And we got a room full of standoffs, right? Because everybody wants to be God. But when God intervenes, he says, no, there's only one true God. So I want you to stop trying to think of yourself as God. And I want you to think of me as God. And when that happens, an amazing transformation takes place. You go from being a free agent, making a mess of your own life, and by the way, on a path that leads to destruction and death, and you become God's dearly beloved child. Now that is amazing news. That the one that was once your enemy is now your father. Jesus is your brother. And you become part of the family. And it's not the biological family. It's the spiritual family of God. And so sincere faith means I acknowledge that I'm part of this new family. And I don't have to live my life based on what I think other people think of me. I don't have to worry about how my siblings or how my friends want me to live my life. No, I can live my life now unashamed, free, and open before the face of God. Because it's to God that we're going to give account. And it's to God that we want to live our lives for. Because he is the one who redeemed us and saved us through Jesus Christ. And so this type of sincere faith, the type of sincere faith that Lois and Eunice had, this is what Timothy got to see all the time growing up. He just got to see grandma and ma live their lives before the face of God, trusting him, walking things out. It must have been hard. If this was a mixed marriage and in a culture that they were in, just religiously, you know, did they go and gather with the Christians? And did dad come? And what did that look like? And was dad opposed to what was going on? Were there arguments? Were there fights? Were there problems? And, you know, Lois and Eunice, as they got older, they got sick and they, I'm sure, died at some point because they're not here with us. And so they went through health issues and everything else, just like all of us. But what Paul commends in Lois and Eunice is that they had a sincere faith too. He didn't just see it in Timothy, his little protege, the guy he invested in. No, he saw the sincere faith in grandma and mom. Now, how sweet is that? What a beautiful picture that is. And this is God's design. And when I think about this grandma-mom combo, I thought for a second, and I don't know, I probably had about 10 different names, but you know, I thought about Flo Cook and Sheila Gravely, Wendy Mills and Ashley Eggie, Martha Uribe and Rachel Ball. You know, grandma and mom, grandma and mom. Grandma and mom. That's a pretty good 1-2 punch for the kingdom, right? When you got grandma and mom both having a sincere faith in Jesus Christ, that has an impact in the way things go in the family, doesn't it? Why? Because the grace that we see in these women of faith is it's a way that we get a picture of God's transforming grace, which is the series of our Romans, the title of our Romans series. This transforming grace can actually be seen in people. Timothy saw this in his grandma and his mom, and it had an effect on him. And Paul saw it. He goes, look, check it out. I see this sincere faith that you have, but you know what? You weren't the only one that had it. This kind of stuff was invested in you by the way that they lived their lives. These mature, godly women had sincere faith, and they were examples to follow. And I just encourage younger women here in our midst, go find those examples in your lives. Whether you're married or unmarried, it doesn't matter. Go find an older, godly, mature woman and learn from her. So I love these testimonies from the Women's Weekend. I love the fact that multiple times people talked about the intergenerational aspect of it. And here's the really cool thing. Not only do I think the younger people benefit a lot from talking to the older people, but you know what? And I speak as an older person, it's really fun to be able to invest your life in a younger person. It kind of gives you a new bounce in your step too. It makes your faith a little more real, and it makes you a little more excited about coming to church or going to care group or going to whatever where you can interact with these people, because you're coming prepared. You're coming geared up because you want to take what you have and you want to pass it on. Because as beneficiaries of the amazing grace of God, having seen our lives transformed and having seen our lives have to navigate through the ups and downs and the trials and sadnesses and the pain and the hurt of what goes on in life in this world, and to be able to say, but my God lives. My God never disappoints. And then you take that faith and you say, and I want you to have this too. So young people, go find some old people and learn from them. And old people, let's make ourselves available. Let's make ourselves available, and let's be intentional to invest in the lives of people who come behind us so that we can be those examples of sincere faith. And so moms, your sincere faith has great spiritual influence over your children because you're with them all the time. And God is using you in strategic ways to build his kingdom and to nurture and develop followers of Jesus Christ. And we all know the old adage, more is caught than taught. You know, kids watch all the time, and they can smell hypocrisy, but you know one thing that they can't get rid of is sincerity. You might make mistakes in the counsel you give. You might make mistakes in how you get upset or how you, you know, communicate certain stuff to your kids, but beyond all that, don't get lost in the little stuff. The bigger thing is this. What your kids need to see in you is a day in and day out sincerity of faith. Because they'll watch it and they'll see it. And by God's grace, they'll want that for their life too. And moms, there can be a temptation to remember what's not going well or to compare yourself to others. But I want to encourage you, look up. And remember who you are. You're a child of the King. God set his affections on you. And not only that, God in his divine plan decided that he wanted you to be a mom. Now you got that in your hip pocket. You got that going for you. You're a child of the King, and it was his idea to put you in this role. Trust me, he will help you along the way. And he will encourage you, and he will inspire you, and he will carry your burdens for you. And so remember to look up and to remember who you are as you cultivate sincere faith in your life. And for the single moms and others that might be in a situation of a broken home or a difficult situation in a marriage, and you have these emotions on a day like that today where there's joy, but there's also pain and sadness, I want you to remember that God hears your cries too. You see, Jesus knew the pain of brokenness. He knew what it was to be abandoned. He knew what it was to be rejected. He experienced death on our behalf for things he didn't even do. And I want you to remember today as well God's faithfulness. Isn't that kind of cool how God in his plan put Paul in Timothy's life? And doesn't that happen so often in broken homes and mixed families and things like that, that God in his kindness, he just takes one of his other kids and he puts him over here and says, here's a little garden I want you to tend. I want you to take care of these people. And I want you to love them as if they're your own. And God will give you grace. And his spirit will strengthen you. And so how does this influence play out in a primary way? Let's look to the second verse that we looked at. 2 Timothy 3:14-15. And this is the second point. Moms, not only live with an authentic faith, a sincere faith, but here's what you do. Share your faith. Be intentional about it. He says this. He says, but as for you, continue in what you have learned and what you have firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it, and how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. So Paul, talking to Timothy, tells him, listen, I want you to continue what's already been invested in you. Continue what you've learned and what you firmly believed. And then he says this, knowing from whom you learned it. Now, clearly, later on, Paul's talking about himself because he wants Timothy to follow his own example. But he's already cited Lois and Eunice in this passage here. He's talking about everybody. All the people that invested in you, I want you to continue to go through life accumulating these wise counselors and godly examples of sincere faith. And I want you to take along the rest of your life all that stuff that you're learning from them. What a cool picture that is. He says, knowing from whom you learned it. See, he knew their stories. He knew Paul's suffering, but he also knew grandma's suffering. And he knew his mom's suffering and the different trials and challenges that she went through. And yet, she had a sincere faith, an authentic faith. She lived it out. What Paul is saying to Timothy, he's saying, look at the people who've taught you. Look at the people who've invested their lives in you. This applies to their lives. It applies to what they've taught you. But I want you to see what they've taught you and see how it played out in their lives. And for the authentic faith, he's saying, follow that. Because you know who you learned it from. And so sincere faith is lived out in this daily life. And it serves as a witness. Because then he goes on. These sincere women, here's what they did. It says this. It says, how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings. So how did that happen? Well, grandma and mom taught him the scriptures. They taught him the Bible. They taught him the word of God. So not only did they model Christian living and have sincere faith, but they taught Timothy the word of God. That was a primary thing that they did. And so it says it from when he was young, from when he was a child. And imagine that as they did life together, and the ups and downs of life come, and grandma and ma are always referring back to scripture. Think about the cumulative effect that that had on those children's lives. Now, Timothy may not have responded the first time he heard it, or the 10th time he heard it, or the 100th time he heard it. He may have needed to hear it from somebody else, ultimately, to come to saving faith in it. But what's highlighted here in the text, and why I think Paul specifically mentions it, is that, look, this is a process, and moms play a key role in it. They invest God's word into their children. Maybe it was bedtimes or walks along the road. Maybe they had them learn to read the scriptures or sing the scriptures or memorize the scriptures. You see, all of these things matter because in all of these ways, moms, you're hiding the word of God in these kids' hearts. And the investment that you make in your kids, it will bring a return someday. And he goes on, he says, these scriptures that are taught, these sacred writings, they are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. And this really becomes ultimately kind of the most important thing of what's going on here. It's that God uses moms to help kids come to saving faith in Jesus Christ by sharing the word of God with them. You see, children need to know more than just Jesus wants to be your friend. No, to really understand the gospel, we have to understand the bad news. What I mentioned a little bit earlier, that we're enemies of God. That's our natural disposition. That's our hereditary disposition. We're enemies of God. And we need to understand that the bad news of our rebellion and our disobedience to God, it doesn't end well. There are consequences because God is holy and God is just. And he will punish sin. But the good news is that God is loving. And he sent his son to come and die on a cross for our sins, so that whoever would believe in him would be saved and have eternal life. This is what Jesus did for us on the cross, dying as our substitute. He made a way for us to be saved. And this is what the scriptures point to. This is what the Old Testament anticipated, and it's what the New Testament celebrates. His work, not ours, in bringing us to salvation. And so moms, in a world filled with sports and education, and achievements, and extracurricular activities, which are all fine and helpful, I would encourage you with this one thing. Make sure that time in the Word with your children is a priority. Now, there's lots of other things to do throughout the day, and you have a lot of different hats to wear, and a lot of different cars to drive, and a lot of different diapers to change, and all kinds of things that go on in a daily life. But if you look at your whole week or your whole month, and you take a step back and say, where did I spend my time with my kids? I want to urge you. Be like Lois and Eunice and make sure your children are acquainted with the sacred writings from childhood. And not only that, but keep talking to them. You see, you might have a kid like me. I had people telling me the truth for a long time, but I'm not the sharpest tool in the shed. And not only that, but I loved my sin and I loved myself and I didn't really want to hear it. But you know what? I had faithful people who continued to share the word of God with me. And over time, when God was at work in my heart and I knew I needed to respond, I knew what the truth was because there had already been a deposit in my heart. And so moms, that's a wonderful role that you can play in your children's lives. Make that deposit in their lives. You know, it's really cool. A lot of us know this next verse that I'm going to put up on the screen. It's 2 Timothy 3, 16 and 17. This is what comes right after this verse that I just read in 14 and 15. It says, all scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. So let's make that a priority in the training up of our children, that we teach them God's word. And for all the women in this room, and this would actually go for the men too, whether you have had children or your children have moved away or you haven't even had the opportunity to have children yet, there is a wonderful opportunity for all of us to impart the word of God to other people. And I want to encourage us all to consider, who can we be investing in? And when I thought about my life and I thought about some influential women in my life, I went back to my thoughts of third grade. When I was growing up, I went to a Christian school, and I was in third grade. I was one of eight kids, and you can kind of feel like you're a little bit lost in the shuffle, and I was sort of in the middle. And to make matters a little bit more difficult, I had a speech impediment, and I couldn't say the letter S properly. So I said, see the sunset, you know, so I just, and you know, if you've ever had a speech impediment or anything like that, it's a little rough growing up sometimes because people make a lot of fun of you. But my third grade teacher, who was a single woman, who actually died before the end of the school year, she really took a liking to me. And sometimes she would see how things would go at school, and she would, I used to walk to school. And sometimes, as a special treat, she would put me in her little MG and she would drive me home. But she was so kind to me. She wasn't my mom, but she was taking what she had received from God and she was giving it off to me. She was being kind to me. And I thought about later on in life when I was in high school and things in my family were going really hard. And so I tried to stay away from the house a lot because it was pretty tumultuous at times. But there was a family down the street and I used to cut their grass. And Mrs. Norris, whose children had grown and they were probably in their 80s by the time I started cutting the grass, Mrs. Norris would always have me cut the grass. And then she would always have me come in and she would make lunch for me. And then she would sit down and talk to me. And then she would find, literally, different projects for me to do around the house so I didn't have to go home and that I could just stay, and she would pay me. And she would talk to me about life, and she was kind to me. And on a spiritual sense, I remember one time after I had finished college, and I still wasn't a Christian, and I had gone to Celebration. So some of you all know what Celebration is because Dave and my other family members, I think it was Dave primarily, invited me to go to Celebration, and I wasn't a Christian, but I was getting a little closer to maybe believing in some of this stuff. And so I went to Celebration, but I needed to leave early because I needed to get back for work. And so I look back now and I go, there was all just this master plan of how to invest in me. But so Dave had this woman named Barbara Livingston, who he had been a missionary with over in Israel. He had Barbara drive me home from Celebration. It's a 5-hour drive. And here's this kind, godly grandmother. She was maybe even a great grandmother by that time. And so I'm driving the car. Barbara's sitting in the passenger seat. And I got about 5 hours of Jesus. But here's the catch. I would have driven 10 hours with her. Because she didn't force it on me. She was just being a grandma, talking to a wayward kid, asking me good questions, telling me the truth, being kind to me. She wasn't even my own relative. And so, no matter what station you're in life, I want to encourage you all, God wants to use you. Look for somebody who needs a mom. Because when you don't have a mom, it's sad. My mom passed away several years ago. And my mom and my little sister, who was also a mom, they were my greatest encouragers. Bonnie encourages me, my kids encourage me, but there's something about your relatives, your mom, your siblings. I mean, they just sort of know you. And they know certain things about you, and they know how to encourage you. And I think if we leave here this place just remembering that everybody needs a mom, and everybody needs a dad too, that maybe God would put it on our hearts to be that kind of a people. That we go out of this place and we be a mom and a dad spiritually to the people who desperately need it. Because we live in the midst of a broken world, and there's a lot of pain, and there's a lot of sadness. But there's also a lot of grace, and it comes through a person and a relationship. It's Jesus Christ. And we have that treasure. And God in his kindness has said, I want you to share it with others. So moms, happy Mother's Day, and thank you for being moms of sincere faith, and thank you for passing on your faith to the next generation. For all the prodigal kids out there, kids who have listened to what mom and dad have said, but have decided, like I did for a long time, to reject it, I want to encourage you, if you have doubts and thoughts about whether or not God is real, or whether God really cares, or whether God can really help in the circumstances of your life, I just want to leave you with this one thought here today. Study your godly mom. Because if you study her, you will see God's fingerprints all over her life, and it's undeniable and it's irresistible. If you have questions and doubts about how true God is and whether his word is really transforming and whether grace really is sustaining, take a look at mom. She's not perfect. She'll be the first one to tell you that. But you know what? She's sincere. And that you can't deny. And that is a work of grace in your mom's life. And that's how you can know that what God says is true, not only about your mom, but what God says about you is true too. And so I want to encourage you, study your mom and give thanks to God for her. And for all of us, as appropriate, I want to encourage us to honor our moms, or those who've been a mom to us, if that's more appropriate, and give thanks to God for their sincere faith and for their faithful witness. Proverbs 31 tells us that a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. So I'd like the band to come on up. We're going to sing a song before we leave here today, but let me close us in prayer. Would you please stand? Father, we thank you for this time that we can be gathered in this place. We thank you for the reminder of your great plan to use these wonderful women in our lives, our moms and our grandmas, or women who step up and act like moms and grandmas when we need them. And we thank you for the way that you, by your grace, are at work in their lives to the point where their lives affect our lives, teaching us the truth, modeling it for us, helping to know that you're true, and helping us to learn what it looks like to depend on you for the long haul. And so I pray that you would be glorified in this place today, and that we would all leave this place with a greater awareness and reminder of the grace that has been given to us through your Son, Jesus Christ. Because without Christ, everything that I've just talked about wouldn't really play true. And yet it does because of him. We thank you and we praise you. Amen.